Welcome to Beltway Talk, the podcast of the American International Automobile Dealers Association, where we examine the intersection between politics and the automobile retail industry. I'm your host, Hannah Oliver. Today's episode is brought to you by Lands' End Business, your official and trusted dealership source for team apparel. Committed to providing you and your employees with the very best clothing for work, life, and style. Find out more at AIADA.org. On today's podcast, we're talking to Christopher Wenk, who is the Vice President of Government Affairs at Kia Motors Corporation's Washington, D.C. office. He's in charge of handling the company's federal and state government affairs programs, and he's joining us to talk about his background working on the trade issue, what a typical day in the Kia Washington office looks like, and why the trade and tariff issues matter to Kia and its dealers. Welcome, Christopher.
Thank you very much for having me today.
To kick things off, can you tell us about your background here in Washington, D.C. and how you ended up at Kia's Washington office?
Yeah, well, thanks. So I've actually been in Washington now for 20 years. So I've been around here for a little while. And I tell you, you know, my career path here is similar to, I think, a lot of people. A lot of people like me, you know, I went to school at Indiana University, and I thought
Midwest.
I wanted to come to Watt. Yes, indeed. Grew up in Michigan, which I know we'll probably talk a little bit more about later, given the auto industry in Michigan. But, you know, I going to Indiana University, I thought I wanted to come to Washington and check it out for a little while. And
Just a little while.
I parlayed an opportunity to intern with the European Union in Washington for a semester in, you know, when I first moved here. And after that, I went and worked on Capitol Hill for 5.5 years for a couple of members of Congress and a committee, which then later turned into opportunities at the National Association of Manufacturers and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And so, again, you know, I thought I would come here for a couple of years and check it out and see what D.C. had to offer, really loving politics, international affairs, and it turned into a 20-year career. And I was fortunate enough that you know, after working at the U.S. Chamber for 11 years, that Kia Motors Corporation was looking for a new head of their office here in Washington. And, you know, I have now been on the job for 5 months. And, you know, it's a very interesting, exciting time in the auto industry.
Absolutely. So I guess you've been around Washington a lot longer than you originally planned. So with your background at NAM and then also at the Chamber of Commerce, how do you think that prepared you for your work at Kia?
Well, you know, I tell you, working at the NAM and the U.S. Chamber, it really gave me I think a cat's eye perspective of what's going on across the business community. And obviously at the NAM, that's a industrial trade association. So when I worked at the NAM, I worked a lot with manufacturing companies. And at the U.S. Chamber, which is a broader business organization, I had an opportunity on a daily basis to work with companies in a variety of sectors and industries on challenges that they faced, particularly in the international trade area. And so, you know, I think that I had a really good perspective of, you know, what challenges companies were facing across the board when I worked at the U.S. Chamber and the NAM. But I'm really excited about the opportunity to kind of drill down in one particular industry, one particular sector. You know, I obviously, in both of my opportunities at the NAM and the U.S. Chamber, I worked a lot with the auto industry. But I also worked with a lot of other industries and sectors. So again, it's you know, I think it's fun to be able to drill down and work in one particular sector, one particular industry, in the auto industry in particular, which is just a wonderful industry to work in.
Has there been anything that surprised you about the auto industry or just something really unique about it compared to all the other areas you've been working in over the years?
You know, I have to say one of my pleasant surprises since I've been on the job is, you know, obviously we're all competitors. You know, we are all trying to sell cars and your dealers are trying to sell our cars, which we greatly appreciate. but, you know, when it comes to, you know, policy issues in Washington and particularly the policy issues of the day, I've been really pleasantly surprised by the collaboration and coordination across the entire auto industry on these challenges that we face. You know, and I think that that's it's really important that we stick together when we can, and particularly in this trade issue, which I know we'll be talking more about, for us to be able to speak with one voice is really, really important because, you know, I think, you know, on a lot of issues, you know, there's going to be different companies that are going to have a different perspective on an issue, but on these fundamental issues of whether or not, you know, tariffs are a good thing and are they going to help the industry or not? We are all united in our strong concern about what impact this would have on the auto industry.
Absolutely. I'm kind of going back a little bit, but you mentioned you're a Michigan native and you went to school in Indiana. Now you've spent 20 years in Washington, D.C., much longer than you originally planned. How does your background as, you know, someone from the Midwest influence the way you work in the auto industry or your viewpoint on the auto industry?
Well, you know, I have to say, I think that I'm probably similar, having grown up in the Midwest and not really having a full picture and appreciation for how much the auto industry has changed over mm-hmm. the last 25 years. Obviously, growing up in Michigan, my father was a small business owner, owned a pharmacy in Ann Arbor, where I grew up. I had a lot of, you know, my father had a lot of employees from Ford and GM and Chrysler that would come into the store. So when you grow up in Michigan, especially where I did, you know, the auto industry is part of like, you know, it's part of life. You see it every day. But, you know, I don't think that I had a real appreciation for how much the industry has changed and that you do have a lot of international auto companies
mm-hmm.
that have
yeah.
now set up shop and are manufacturing in the United States. And obviously for Kia, we have a terrific manufacturing plant in West Point, Georgia. And for Hyundai, you know, in Montgomery, Alabama. And so, you know, so it's been really interesting to really see up close how much the auto industry has changed. And you know what, you know, an auto worker in Georgia or mm-hmm. Alabama should not be treated differently than an auto worker in Michigan or how we're all making cars.
Yeah.
These are all Americans building cars in the United States. It doesn't matter what the nameplate is on the car. These are all American workers working for companies that are employing Americans.
Absolutely. What does a typical day in the office look like for you at Kia? I think it's something our listeners would like to know.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, I have to say it's a very unique work environment in Washington in general right now.
Yeah, it really
you know,
is.
There's so much going on all of the time. And so I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges working in Washington is staying on top of what's going on. And, you know, having, again, worked in Washington for over 20 years, when I first came here, there was no Twitter, there was no Facebook. and so, you know, there's just, you know, I have to go on my iPhone in the morning now and take a look at Twitter and see what
yes.
the president's talking about or folks on the Hill are talking
mm-hmm.
about. So, you know, so I have a great team here in Washington, terrific people. And, you know, so working together with my team, we just have to make sure we're up to speed on what's going on, what the current developments are. And then a lot of discussions about, you know, how we can impact any of the policies that are happening. And, you know, I talk a lot to our folks down our plant in West Point, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to our plant manager pretty much on a daily basis. Talk to our execs out at Kia Motors America out in California, which is our U.S. headquarters, just to talk about what, you know, what's on their minds, just to make sure, you know, we know what issues are impacting them. And then we have an R&D facility, ironically, up in Ann Arbor, Michigan,
okay.
where I grew up. So, I mean, again, on a daily basis, it's, you know, a lot of coordinating, collaborating with folks in my office, folks that work for Kia in our different facilities, and also spending a lot of time with our different trade associations.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, on the issues that we work on, we spend a lot of time with the global automakers and Here for America,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, IADA is a active member of, because again, these are areas where, you know, all the auto industry comes together on these issues.
Yeah. So having explained what a typical day at the office looks like, obviously you work a lot on policy. What are some of the policy issues that Kia and you specifically are working on right now in Washington?
Well, there's no question that the biggest issue in Washington right now for the auto industry and for Kia are these trade issues.
Mm-hmm.
There are other issues out there as well that we're certainly following and you know, closely monitoring. And a good example is fuel economy standards. You know, the Trump administration, to their credit, did take a look at what the Obama administration had put forward, and there was an opportunity for them to have a review of what the Obama administration had put forward. And so there's going to be an opportunity for all the auto industry to weigh in about what that looks like going forward. So that's important. But that's a little bit further down the road. But, you know, by and large, it is the trade issues of the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, usually when you're working on an issue in Washington, you really want to see your issue page A1 of the newspaper. And in some cases on the trade issue, it's not in a good way that it's on page
mm-hmm.
A1. And I think that, you know, whether it's the changes that are going to happen to NAFTA, you know, which is obviously a trade agreement between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. It's been around for a generation, and there have been some developments there. There's been a lot of talk about the administration moving forward on looking at whether auto parts and auto imports are a threat to national security of the United States, a so-called 232 investigation. Yeah. So that's something we've been monitoring very, very closely. And obviously for Kia, you know, we are a Korean company, but with a big U.S. footprint. So we've also been monitoring the developments and the modifications that happened recently to the U.S.-Korea free trade agreement. So there's a number of trade issues that impact Kia and the auto industry that we're monitoring closely. And, you know, these trade issues have a big impact on our
really
company
do.
And on jobs and on consumers. And so we are very actively engaged in all those discussions.
Well, sounds like you are pretty busy on trade this spring, which has not always been the case in Washington. Can you just take a minute or two and drill down into why the trade issue, tariffs, NAFTA, you name it, is one that dealers should really be engaged with at this point in time?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, tariffs are taxes. And, you know, I think that there's probably some confusion out there about, you know, what this all is and what it really means. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if there were an effort to put tariffs on car imports or cars, it will have a major impact on the prices of cars, the availability of cars, that the choices that consumers will have. And, you know, I mean, there have been a lot of studies that have been done in recent months looking at this specifically, and they have found that, you know, if there were an effort to put, you know, a 20 or 25% tariff on car imports, that we would see, you know, prices go up on average of $1,500 to $6,000 plus dollars per vehicle. That would have a huge impact. And for, you know, for Kia, you know, the cars that we build and sell in the United States, they're really geared towards middle-class families. And, you know, yes, the economy is doing very well in the United States, and that's terrific, and the administration deserves a lot of credit for that. But, you know, while there's more money out there, you know, why should we ask our consumers to have less choice and have to pay more money for the cars that are available to them at dealerships? So dealers should be interested and engaged in where this discussion goes.
Absolutely. Is there anything you would encourage Kia dealers or are encouraging Kia dealers to do to, you know, be engaged and do something about the trade and tariff issue as it develops?
Yeah. So, you know, we have been having engagement with our dealers. I'm going to be going out to Las Vegas here next month for our annual dealers meeting. And, you know, our folks out at Kia Motors America are the ones that are kind of on the front lines with our dealers. So we've been sharing a lot of information with them that they've been sharing with dealers in terms of where things are, where things may go. And we want to make sure that people are paying attention and people are aware that this is an issue that's happening and an issue that could have an impact on their dealerships. And so, you know, we want dealers to be engaged in the conversation. And if that means reaching out to their members of Congress to say that they have concerns, there are ways to do that. There are some toolkits and some websites out there that we've circulated where dealers could take action. And of course, AIADA have some terrific resources as well that we've been sending out as well to our dealers. We just need to make sure that, you know, on a issue that would have a major impact on jobs at dealers across the country, you know, you can't be quiet. You need to be actively following and engaged in this discussion.
Just one more question on the trade issue. I know we talked about the dealer side of things, but you mentioned you travel a lot down to the manufacturing facility. Could you explain a little bit more of the impact on the manufacturing side of things, the concern you guys have over the tariffs?
Yeah, well, I mean, I tell you,
I kind of lump it all together into one big pile.
Well, the bottom line is, you know, these policies would impact us in a number of ways. I mean, it would impact us on the export side. You know, we export about 15% of our product from West Point, Georgia overseas. But we also import products, you know, that go into our cars that we build. And so, you know, if you're talking about a tariff on either side, it's going to have an impact on the jobs. And I mean, you know, the number that we're using is if this tariff were to go forward, we would see a minimum 10% increase in production costs at our plant in West Point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
That is substantial.
You know, that's something that we've been highlighting and pointing out to the administration. And, you know, I mean, on the export side, you know, I think the concern is if the administration were to move forward on tariffs on this side, other countries would do the same on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, you know, export opportunities that maybe were there will not be there anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's something we just really need to avoid. And again, the auto industry is doing very well. The U.S. auto industry is, and we're not asking for protection. You know, there is no one in the auto industry, whether it's dealers or automakers or anybody or the parts suppliers, that is asking for protection here. No one. And that's why, you know, we're all united in our opposition to these tariffs.
Well, we talked a little about dealers, but I just want to go back one more time, just beyond the trade issue, but just in terms of federal legislation and general issues that impact their dealerships. Why should dealers be engaged with their legislators and with what's going on at the federal level?
Well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, things that happen in Washington do impact local communities.
Absolutely.
And, you know, elections have consequences. And, you know, today things may look good for people, but tomorrow, based on what the makeup of Congress is or whatnot, it could have very different, difficult circumstances that could present themselves. So it is important that dealers and people are paying attention to what's going on,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, actions that are taken in Washington really, truly do impact, you know, the bottom line of dealers. And, you know, whether it's a tax issue that could mm-hmm. impact passing on a dealership from one person to another, or, you know, other issues there, you know. It's, you know, elections have consequences. And so it's really important that, you know, people do pay attention. People are engaged in the political process. And, you know, it's American civic right to vote. And, you know, it's a shame when people don't think that their vote's going to make any difference, because every vote does matter.
Yes,
every vote matters. No matter where you are, it does make a difference. And it's important that that people are part of the political process.
Thanks for that. Given your background here in Washington, we're going to move on to a couple of less serious questions just to wrap things up today. Since you're in the auto industry now, I always like to ask people, what is your dream car?
Well, you know,
Kia or otherwise,
my dream car is a Kia Stinger, which is a terrific car. You know, obviously, people may have seen some of the ads during the Super
mm-hmm.
Bowl,
mm-hmm.
But you know, it's a fantastic car, and the reviews have been tremendous. And I tell you, you know, the dealers that I've had a chance to talk mm-hmm. to and asking them how their Stinger sales are, you know, they tell me that they see a Kia Stinger as having an opportunity to match up with, you know, BMW and other sports car sales, which is, you know, really terrific for Kia, because people don't think of Kia as this sports car manufacturing company.
Yeah.
So we're kind of towing into new waters here, but it's a terrific car. So I'd say a Kia Stinger is my dream car.
Probably one you wouldn't want to park on the street in Washington.
Probably not. Probably not.
What is the best thing you found about working for Kia over the last 5 months?
Yeah, I mean, it's the people. You know, it's the people. And, you know, I have to say, you know, Kia is not different from the other international companies who have set up manufacturing operations in the United States over the last 20 years. But I've had a chance to go to West Point, you know, two or three times since I started 5 months ago. And it is truly amazing to see the impact that Kia mm-hmm. has had on that local community. You know, before Kia came in back in 2008, 2009, this is a community that was not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big economic downturn. There was a lot of lost manufacturing jobs. It was a big textile community. And Kia came in and breathed life into this community. And so it's exciting for me to be part of this now,
mm-hmm.
that Kia really has a huge economic footprint, particularly in West Point, Georgia, and to see the impact that it has on lives there.
Yeah.
You know, we had a chance to bring some workers up here for a fly-in we did over in July.
Uh-huh.
And just to hear their stories about, you know, what an impact Kia has not had just on their personal lives, but on their neighbors' lives and, you know, the local baker and the local restaurants and the hotels. That's what this is about. You know, we are, you know, sure, we're a Korean company, but we have a big American story to tell. And so it's really fun to be part of this story now.
I can imagine. Well, we certainly appreciate you stopping by the AIDA studios and joining us here today. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to say AIDA does some terrific things. You have a great team here. Thank you very much for this opportunity today. Keep up the good work. And, you know, I think that now more than ever, you know, you guys have a role to play in terms of educating the dealers and others about what's going on in Washington and how it would impact them. And so, you know, keep up what you're doing, and thank you for the opportunity today.
Thank you. That wraps up this episode of Beltway Talk. Thanks for listening in. As a reminder, be sure to send us a message and let us know of any topics or issues you'd like to see covered on future episodes. You can reach me directly at oliverh@aiada.org. Join us again next time for Beltway Talk.